listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from Jesus the Christ in this season of Lent. Amen. So the first Sunday in Lent, the first Sunday of the Lenten season every year begins with this reading. Some years from Matthew, like today, others Mark, others Luke. But we're always retelling the story of Jesus being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, lest we take Lent too lightly. This gives us a morning and maybe even this whole week to reflect, to pause again, and to consider temptation and to consider the devil. Does anyone really believe in Satan anymore? In many ways, I think the devil has been reduced to a Halloween costume. Every year, the devil seems to come out in October as we see images and adults are dressed up. Children, I've even seen dressed up like a devil with the red pitchfork and the pointy tail and the horns. It's as if Halloween is the only time that the devil comes out. And it's all just pretend and just for fun, trying to be funny, or I've seen certainly sexy devil costumes as well. It's either that, or I think when it comes to thinking about, do we really believe in the devil anymore? I think the devil gets assigned to different people. That person is the devil. We think about our Osama bin Ladens or our Adolf Hitlers. And then I think a cheap shot is looking at our political leaders, assigning those characteristics. It wasn't too long ago I heard people would talk about our former president, Barack Obama, like that. You'd see that. And I certainly have heard our current president, Donald Trump, being referred to as the devil himself. It's as if we're trying to compartmentalize the devil and control Satan by assigning the label evil to a specific individual or a group or a class or even a race of people. But the devil, friends, the devil really comes out, I think, during Lent. When we head with Jesus into the wilds, into the wilderness, into readings, into Lenten journeys like this one. This season of Lent is a time for weeding. And when you weed, as any good gardener knows, you can't just pick off the prickly leaves and vines that you see on the surface and call it good. Every good gardener knows you have to dig deeper. You can't just point to one person who has committed war crimes or violated ethical codes or humanitarian laws, destroy that person, and then go back to sleep. We've got to dig deep into the soil of our own hearts, where the roots of evil have a stronghold. We've got to do the work in the garden. We've got a lot of work to do in this Lenten wilderness. Be assured, friends in Christ, that the devil is real. Temptation is all around us. But we've got a strong word to contend against the devil. We find that again today. How interesting that these temptation stories today are not big temptations. They're not temptations to murder or any other great big sin. Neither Jesus nor Adam and Eve were handed a sword or a getaway car. Do you know what I mean? They weren't tempted to do these really bad things. If that were the case, I think it'd be a lot easier to resist temptation. But the tempter is far more subtle. I mean, what's wrong with a little fruit? It's even healthy. What's wrong with turning some stones into bread? Indeed. The tempter is far more subtle. I want to break down these three temptations in Matthew's gospel for us just as scholars have broken it down for me, Jesus was tempted, they would say, by three things: by wealth, by security, and by power. Wealth, security, and power, and frankly, we are tempted also by wealth, security, and power. The first temptation is wealth, bread. Nothing wrong with bread. Nothing wrong with wealth, if we're careful. But how easily wealth, money, can become the center of our worlds. How easily it becomes our treasure. And what did Jesus say? That's where your heart is also then. Too much bread is the sin. Too much wealth is the sin. I learned from a New Testament scholar that the wilderness outside of San Diego, the desert in the Southwest, there's rocks everywhere. If you ever drive from San Diego out to Arizona, like we always used to do at this time of the year to go to spring training, Mike and I would drive out from San Diego and you'd see rocks everywhere. And I had a New Testament scholar that said, you know, this is the exact same wilderness. It's amazing. It's the same wilderness as Jesus was in when he was tempted. The wilderness outside of Galilee and Judea where he must have gone. And so I just always had this different picture when Jesus is tempted to turn the rocks into bread. Of it's an incredible amount of bread that he's being tempted. Too much. Turn these stones into bread, the devil said. Jesus contends against that. One does not live by bread alone. One does not live by wealth alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Powerful word for us as the market is tanking right now. Right? One does not live by wealth alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Let us too cling fast to the strong word of God in this Lenten season. Let's listen to it. Let's open the Bibles, look for it, read it, study it during the week. Let's keep going for more insight into this strong word of God. The second temptation is security. Nothing wrong with security either, right? Who doesn't want to have a roof over their head, clothes to keep them warm, shelter for their family and their communities, and on and on. But when we become so obsessed with security, we lose sight of what is most important. Like a weed, those roots run deep and can take over. That need for total security. And it's always subtle at first, just like the weeds. My internship congregation in St. Louis was the year that I was doing my internship. They were going through what churches go through, this process of figuring out what their mission and vision is and what their values are. And I remember that year, they highlighted, I was just the intern sitting and watching and learning and observing, they highlighted risk-taking as one of the values of their congregation. I'd never been part of a congregation that valued risk-taking. And I mean really risky stuff with their money, with their resources, their time. They were going to hold up risk-taking, and they found that to be biblically grounded. In fact, that congregation was full of some biblical scholars that wrote books that are in my office like this thick. So, I mean, they were grounded in Scripture, and they saw no evidence anywhere that lifts up the virtues of being secure. They saw nothing anywhere. When you look at the stories of Abraham and Moses, Ruth and Naomi, these are not stories about securing security. When they look at Mary and Paul, Jesus in the New Testament, everywhere, it's about going out into the wilderness, taking risks for the sake of the gospel. And yet, the devil's real. It is often our first priority so much of the time. I know that's true for me anyway. How we are tempted to dump ourselves and our resources down to the angels of security below. Safety nets. Do not test God, Jesus says. Do not let your lust for perfect, peaceful security and comfort come between you and God, who is always out there among the poor and the neglected, and calling us to leave our nets. Those very words, leave our nets and take risks and follow Jesus. Use your head, Jesus says. Be shrewd, but leave your nets. God doesn't minister to us. We serve God and minister our gifts, our time, our talents, our treasures in compassionate ways by sharing our bread, reaching out to others in need. Lent is the season to pull up the weeds that grip our hearts and hold us from the inside. Oh, the devil is real. Wish I had a voice like James Earl Jones. Oh, the devil is real. Finally, the third temptation is power. So subtle. So tricky. Nothing wrong with being in control, right? Having people under you? Having people do what you say? We've got a lot of managers and bosses in this congregation. What's so bad about that? Having people do what you say? Someone's got to call the shots, right? But again, this can be abused. Power for power's sake. I used to love that show, House of Cards, on Netflix. Kevin Spacey plays this upstanding Democratic senator from South Carolina, actually. And he looks great on television and all of his speeches, but the show is about how evil he is behind closed doors. He is so corrupt. It's a great show. Kevin Spacey often in that show will turn hauntingly to the camera all the time and kind of talk to you, the viewer. It's so creepy because it's like he's looking right at you. And often, in this devilish way, I think in one of the early episodes, he says, you know, this is not about money for me. He looks right at you. He says, this is about power. He just says it. It's not about money. It's about power. And that just speaks, I think, to the deep desire for all of us as human beings. It's not just overt shows of power evil either. How we can try to manipulate things behind the scenes, especially when access to power is not granted. One does not always have power initially. One does not have that privilege many times. So especially when access to power is not granted or assumed immediately by the culture, it's easy to manipulate things behind the scenes so that you can have power. Sometimes that's the best way to get it. You're not out front, but you're running everything behind the scenes. When we make ourselves God, we put ourselves at the center. And we turn away from God. This is what the tree in the Garden of Eden was all about. Shall we trust in God or not? Maybe we should just trust in ourselves. That was the temptation, first commandment stuff. It's still the temptation, friends. So welcome to Lent. Do the hard work this season. Do the introspection. These 40 days. This is really a season to turn and look at yourself, look at your life, look at your practices, look at what's tempting you. Do the hard work of weeding in the garden of your hearts. Work the steps. Commit to the journey. Because in this walk of Lent is life. I love to talk about this Lent that breathes. There is life here when we do this work. And Jesus meets us in our struggle, in our stumbling and getting back up. You know that word devil, diabolos is the Greek word. It literally means throwing a ball in the way, throwing an obstacle in the way. So the devil could be imagined as the tripper. Just pay attention to that. What's tripping you up? What's causing you to stumble? Jesus meets us in that. Jesus meets us as we stumble and helps us to get back up. Jesus meets us in our time with the devil, in our time of honest reckoning. This is a hard time, this Lenten season. Coming face to face with God is not easy, and coming face to face with the powers of temptation that only you know truly what that means for you. But this is a good time. It is good to face these things, and Christ will bring us through. Will you pray with me? God, give us the power to resist the allures, the subtleties of Satan in this wilderness journey of Lent. Give us the courage to trust in you. Weed out our sinfulness, cleanse our hearts, and walk with us now. Keep us always steadfast in your word, and continue to love us as you always have. In Jesus' name, amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.